Come down through here several of these verses tonight. We'll not keep you long. I know some of them still on a youth rally hangover, and they figured since they've been to church so much all weekend, they couldn't make it tonight, or maybe they didn't have the gas. I sympathize with them if they didn't. I mean, it's really getting bad. And don't worry, Hillary's going to save us. That's what she said. That's what she said. We heard at the youth rally, all three of them's going to save us. It don't matter which one gets elected, they're all going to save us. I don't know if y'all heard, I'd had my TV off for a long time, and I didn't know what was what. So I turned it back on Monday or something, and I heard that little speech that Obama's former pastor made. Boy, I'm telling you, that fella, he's digging himself deeper and deeper, ain't he? He'd been better off just to shut up. Every time he says it, it just gets him in deeper. But anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We got down there to, I don't know if whichever one, verse we got to, but it's somewhere around verse 8. Better is the end of the thing. I mean, we talked about this one, I believe, than the beginning there. Like the Bible. Revelation is better than Genesis. And the patient spirit is better than the proud spirit. We gave some examples of that. Verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. I want you to memorize that verse. Anybody who here, they say anger management, you know, I don't know where that comes from. I just call it being a brat and can't control your temper. But memorize that verse. Be not hasty. That means don't get in a hurry. Slow down. Chill out. In thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Remember that. Next time you get ready to be angry, the Lord will say, anger resteth in the bosom of fools. We'll say, oh, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. All right. Because it don't do you no good to be mad. I knew a preacher one time. He was trying to start a motorcycle. And you know, he finally got mad and called off and kicked it and almost broke his foot. That really did him a lot of good, didn't it? I was trying to start a lawnmower one time, the old-timey kind of lawnmower, and I remember I jerked and I yanked and I jerked and I sweat. You know, when it's really hot in the summer, the sweat was dripping on. I was getting madder by this stupid thing. I pulled the choke out, it wouldn't start. I pushed the choke in, it wouldn't start. I checked the gas. I jerked and I jerked, and finally I got mad and I went, and broke the string off, holding it right in my hand like that. And it went, that really done a lot of good, didn't it? Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. How many times do you get mad and say something and later regret it? We all do that. I mean, we all do that. A man ain't no good that ain't got a temper, but a man ain't no good that can't control it. A temper is like a fire extinguisher, only for emergencies. So everybody remember that. Let's see if we can say this verse. Now, you say it with me. Ready? Ecclesiastes 7:9. Let's go. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Let's try it again. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. One more time. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say, you know what you've got in your bosom, fool? Talk to yourself. Preach yourself a sermon. Anger. Amen. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Alright? Alright, verse 10. Here's a good one. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Isn't that something? Why was the former days better than nowadays? You don't inquire wisely concerning this. Now, this is typical in churches and in homes and in marriages and everything. A lot of people, all they want to do is major on how wonderful and good everything used to be and how terrible and bad off they are now. Now, the Bible said we're not supposed to do that. I don't think it's wrong to say, man, didn't we have a good revival back years ago? Man, didn't God really move when he said, I don't think that's wrong. But I do think it's wrong to continually try to live in the past, off past blessings. Listen, people, you don't inquire why, you're not smart. And I'll tell you why you're not smart. Because God don't ever do the same thing twice the same way. And because them good old days ain't as good as you try to make them out to be. Oh, you remember them good parts. You don't remember them miserable, terrible days that was in there. The good old days wasn't. I hear it all the time. That's one reason why I like to be around young Christians, because these are the good old days for them. I hate to be around somebody. I know people, and I love them. They love me. They're very spiritual. But every time I'm around them, they'll say, "Boy, didn't we used to have some good meetings?" Boy, I remember back in the 60s, God moved. I remember. And that's great, but we can't live like that. You'll get to thinking that was heaven and this is hell. And listen, people, I've even had people here in our church say, "Well, you know what? When I first come to Shining Light, I loved it, and it's so exciting, but now it just ain't like it used to be." Well, we have people in here now that's enjoying it just as much now as you was then. They're having their good old days. In 5 years, they'll tell me that. You can't continue to live in the past. Can I talk plain to y'all for a second? I mean, don't tell nobody, okay? I don't talk a lot about my former church at New Man a lot from the pulpit, and I just don't. I feel like it's not my place to do it. I don't talk, but a lot of you folks know here the blessings that we had. And, I mean, it was just, you know, one of a kind. There's no doubt about it. But there are still people, and it's been 8 years, there are still people there, here, Marion, Bert, that all they talk about is how good things used to be. Every time they call me, I have people call me from Marion on a regular basis, and they say, "Brother Danny, I miss so bad. I just want things to be." And I, you know what? I agree with them to a point. I say, "I miss it too. I miss it too." But you cannot whine and whine. And but we didn't get the blessings we had then by whining. We got the blessings we had then by praying and seeking God and trying to do right and preaching the Bible. And if we ever get them blessed again, it's going to be the same way. You'll never get God to bless you whining about how pitiful you are and how wonderful things used to be. Listen, I was the pastor. We had so many people up there, you could come every Sunday and think the church is wonderful and didn't have no problems. I was the pastor. We had plenty of problems. Sometimes our church is smaller here and people say, "Well, we never had problems like this at New Man." Yeah, we did too, about 50 times more. We had bus kids getting a fight almost every Sunday out there in the gym. I was there. I stand there and watched them. With church kids, about three out of five Sundays, we'd have nearly a fight breakout. Carrie's in that class. She can tell you. Her husband's one that started it. But he didn't he about get into it with bus? Some of them wanted him and some of them boys. Well, every problem we have here, we had there. He said, "But then everybody loved the Lord." And No. You were just naive. You're in the middle of everything now, and you're just thinking. A guy called me not long ago from up there, and he said, "Man, Brother Danny, I miss your preaching." He said, "We still have good services." He said, "But it just don't get on like it used to." He said, "Does it get on down at your church?" And I said, "Yeah, but not like it used to." And I said, "Look, brother." And I told about three of them, "Lord, just put this in my heart." And here's what I told him. I said, "Look, brother, me and New Manna was like peanut butter and jelly. We just went together." And I said, "Now you can have the peanut butter or you can have the jelly. But you can't have both." And he said, "I guess you're right." And what I meant to say was, get over it. God's still God. He's still able to bless you. Listen, you can have all of God you want sitting right here. Sure, we had some great times. And it's still the greatest church in that part of the country. It still is right now. And thank God for what they're doing. I love Brother Tony, and I pray for him all the time. But you cannot live in the past. You can't say, "Well, the good old days, and good old days." Somebody's having their good old days right now. Enjoy it with them. Thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Don't say, "Well, honey, when we first got married, it was so wonderful. And now, well, make it wonderful now, brother." Amen. Make the best out of what you got now. Of course it was wonderful when you was on your honeymoon. Of course. Oh, big deal. You say, well, I've heard people say, when I was growing up, we all went to Mama's on Sunday, and I wish we could go back. You know, and you know, we all miss times like that. But you cannot live in the past. You cannot live in the past. All we can do is say, you know what? It's 2008, but God is still God. The King James Bible is still the truth. We can still win. So, listen. We're having more people saved at our youth rallies than we ever had up there. That's not putting those. We had the great ones up there. But we reach more lost people now than we did then. So these are the good old days for somebody. Look at the good parts. Look at the good things. If the devil can get you looking at the bad parts of your wife or the bad parts of your husband or his faults or her faults or your parents, or he'll mess you up. You've got to look at the good things. I was like falling in love. You know how you fall in love with somebody? All you see is their good points. You know how you fall out of love? All you see is their bad points. That's simple. Get your eyes off the bad, put it on the good. Thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Now, there's a sense in which we stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You're supposed to, boy, God did this and God did that, but use it as a springboard for God to do something now. Listen, we're right now. We are right now in one of the most exciting times a church can ever have. Getting ready to move into a new building. That's exciting. You know, there's people who grew up in these little old country churches, went there all their life and never got a new building. We're going to get a brand new building with a new parking lot and new seats and new carpet and new restrooms and everything. Man, that's a blessing. I mean, if nothing don't happen, we'll have it in just a few weeks. Like 4 weeks from Sunday. Amen? I can't wait. If you're not careful, you'll say, I don't know what's wrong with me. Just don't feel right no more. You said the magic word, feel. Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah. That's when it took off. There's a bunch of times when it took off. I'll tell you about it sometime. One was 1982, one was 1986, and then 1994, God hit with some great revivals. I mean, Carrie didn't even want to go in the new church. She did not. We had some good memories in the old building. So I remember her saying, Daddy, I'm not going in it. I don't like the new building. It's ugly. Or so it's too big. It's too nice. I like our old building. In the old building there, we had bees come out. Somehow bees got up in it. And I mean, when it got hot, bees would come out and sting people. And we had old wooden pews that we went to Missouri. Me and some boys went to Missouri and got them, unloaded them, put them on a truck, brother. And they had splinters in them. And it was nothing uncommon at all for a woman to come in there and get a splinter and rip her hose on it or something. Had little nails sticking out of it. And this insulation got wet back there in the corner, like that corner over there. And it was like dead fish. Have you ever smelled insulation been wet for about 2 months? It smelled worse than dead fish. You'd walk in there and go, you think that carbon plant smells bad? Bro, that whole church smelled like that for months. And I mean, right in the middle of service, bees would come down there and people would be doing like that. And somebody jerked and got stung. So it wasn't all just shouting and having a big time. I mean, Lord, we had some awful times, awful battles. But you know what? It was good and I wouldn't take nothing from my journey and my memories. Amen? Amen. I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret starting that school. It's doing great. Thank God I don't have to put up with it. But I don't regret it. I don't regret it. If I had it do over, I'd do it again. I don't regret anything that I've ever done for Jesus. Now listen, anybody else want to say something? Don't live in the old, good old days. Gas is cheap now compared to what it's going to be. You remember we griped about it going to $2 a gallon? We'd shout now if it went down to $2 a gallon. What, who had their hand raised?
I just
want to say a lot of times you tell about those old times. It's up there. I can see you. I'd say more of them traveling around the hood. That's right. That's right. Amen. You ain't too old to enjoy it, Brother Ray. Everybody else in here is worse off than you. You the one that ain't missed the service. He ain't missed one service since we've had this building. Not one. In 8 years. But anyway, I don't want to spend all the time on that verse, but don't let the devil trick you by thinking how wonderful things used to be. Thank God for the memories. Thank God for the good times. Use them and get a blessing, but don't dwell. Don't let yourself dwell in the past, because it ain't really as good as you think it is now. It was rough. It was rough while it was happening. Then you look back on it and think, wow, that's great. But just like now, it's rough. One day we'll probably look. The day may come when we'll look back and say, wow. Do you remember when we could go to church on Sunday night before they passed them laws against it? We could just go any Sunday night. I would love to do that again. I loved those Sunday night services. Before they passed laws, we couldn't be out but once a week for religious purposes. You say, that'll never happen. You don't know, brother. The way this country's going, anything's liable to happen. Anybody got anything else to say right there? Amen. That's exactly right. Enjoy your portion. And Miss Kay's a good example of that. Miss Kay, she's a good example of that. She's able to adapt wherever she's at and make the best out of it. A lot of people can't do that. If they ain't right where they want to be, or right who they want to be with, or right where they're just miserable, and they're going to make everybody else around them miserable. Why ain't that? This ain't the way he did it. And the last pastor did it this way. I'm glad y'all can't say that. I'm the only one you ever had. Don't ever say that to your pastor. That's like comparing him to your first husband. You know, you don't say to your second husband, well, my first husband, you're liable to lose a tooth. But you don't do that. You just be thankful for what you got. Enjoy your portion. Enjoy your portion. Anybody else? Tell them. Amen. Well, I heard Glenda run the aisles and shouted and everything up there.
We are very, very blessed. Until you get out here, you get
to some folks don't know how dead it is out there, buddy. I mean, there's some good churches, but I mean, for the most part, honest to goodness, I don't see how people stand it. I don't see how people stand it. And you know, there's a lot of people that love to come here, but they're scared of the persecution that they'd get for being connected with me. They know their kinfolks, people they work with. Why, you ain't going to that. And they just can't take it. They can't take the persecution. Now me, I'm going to say, look, if I can get something from the Lord there and the Lord's blessing me, say whatever you want. You can go sit there and dry it if you want to. I'm going to go get a blessing. Anybody else? Right quick.
Just like you said, it works.
Yeah. A pastor told me, he said, Brother Danny, one of our members come to me, and he said he wasn't coming to hear you preach because something he read on the internet. Somebody put something on the internet. I said, well, so what? Bring it on, brother. They ain't say nothing. They ain't been said 1,000 times before. Big deal. If that's all that preacher's got to do is get on the internet and type in something about another preacher, he's doing the work of the devil. He's doing the work of the devil. Brother? That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's, people make that mistake. They think it's the building or a group, certain people, and it's not. It's the Lord. The Lord's what made new man of what it was. It is the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Let's get the next verse here. Verse 11. I don't know. Let me see. Watch out, Brother Andy. I've left mine at home. But hurry here. Verse 11. We'll hurry. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Well, that's a good verse, isn't it? With an inheritance. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. Look at that. That's interesting. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. What's that mean? It'll keep you from a lot of crap. If you're smart, you'll stay out of a lot of messes. Some of these kids that go out here and will just take any kind of drug. And you know, there's girls and boys out here, they'll take anything anybody gives them. I was a sinner, but I'm telling you, I wasn't that stupid. Ain't no way I was going to put something in my mouth I didn't even know what it was. You don't know what some idiot's going to give you at a party. But wisdom is a defense. If you got any brains, it will help as a defense in your life. Money is a defense. Money can buy you some protection. Money can buy you a bodyguard. Money can buy you all kinds of medicine and antibiotics. It's a defense. So in that sense, you know, you can do a lot with it. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. Look at verse 13. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? That's a weird sort of a verse. I preached on it one time up at New Man, and the title of the message was, Why is a Peanut Crooked? And the whole message was, Why is a Peanut Crooked? And I used that verse right there. I forgot what it was about, but I had all kind of points about it. Peanuts are like men. They're all crooked. And, you know, and they ain't nothing. Peanuts have a heart inside, you know. I had a whole message. I might preach it again one of these days. I forgot what it was about. But who can make what straight that's crooked? Nobody can but God. The answer to that's in Isaiah. When John the Baptist prophesied, he said, He'll make the crooked places straight and the mountains low and the valleys high. Nobody can make that which is crooked straight except God. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Okay, here's one for Americans. When you're prospering, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. That's a rough verse. That means sometimes you're going to prosper, sometimes you're going to lose. If you're in business, you can't win them all. You're going to lose money. I mean, don't you feel like sometimes you're getting, about time you feel like you're getting ahead and you got your bills caught up and you can just about see the end of the tunnel, your washing machine will tire up. It's a day of adversity. That's just the way it is. That's just life. About the time you get that car almost paid off, this thing will tire up. You have to put a transmission in it or maybe even a motor or something like that. And you got to say, well, am I going to fix it? Or am I just going to trade it in and get me another? Well, I don't know. You're going to pay for a car either way you look at it. If you don't pay payments, if you got one that's paid for, it's going to tire up and you're going to have to pay money to keep it going. And if you got one that ain't paid for, you're just renting a car is all you're doing just about. You're very lucky if you got your car paid for and they're running good. You're very blessed. Anybody want to say something? None? All right. Look at verse number 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Now, I really want to save that verse, but I won't comment on it, because verse 16 is a bomb, and 17 is a bomb, and I'm telling you, there's some rough ones coming up here in the next, the rest of this chapter, there's a bunch of big ones. So, verse 15 just saying this. He said, I saw a righteous man perish in his righteousness and a wicked man prolong his life in wickedness. And the implication is, what good is it to live right? Because this fella here, he lived like a devil and he lived to be 99 and never got sick a day in his life. And that fella lived right and served God and he died when he's 25 and had a miserable life. Now what that is the exception. The exception proves the rule. The exception never overthrows the rule. That's what they call inductive method, I think. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. There's an inductive method and there's an objective or subjective method. Well, one of them says this. To make it where you can understand it, in college they'll say, see, women are as strong as men because that muscle builder woman beat up that little skinny feller. Therefore, women are strong as men. You know that kind of reasoning? Well, the truth is, that woman is an exception. The general rule is, men are stronger than women. She's an exception. The exception don't overthrow the rule. That's inductive. The exception proves the rule. The very fact that they pull a woman up there and say, see there, she's strong as a man, proves that the rule is, men are stronger than women. And that's not a judgmental, put down, sexist, racist, right? That's a fact like the sun is hot. That don't mean I'm against the moon. That don't mean I hate the moon. It just means the sun's hot. And we have raised a generation of people that cannot just accept facts. If you just state facts, they think, well, you're a bigot or you're a sexist or you're a racist or anything. It's got to the place where we can't even say, you know, up's up.
Or your prejudice gets down.
You know, I'm telling you, we've lost our mind. We've lost our mind. If you say, Lord have mercy, if all the men in this church, and there's more women here tonight than there are men, they always are in any church, always. That means men's are sorry. If you put all the men on this side of church and all the women on this side of church and we had a knockdown, drag out fight, I'll guarantee you the men will win. Guarantee it. Now, there's probably some women in here that could whoop some men in here. But that don't overthrow that general rule. The general rule is men are stronger. That's right. Yeah. Well, it must be nice to have a muscular piece, a specimen of humanity like you've got to lift them heavy things around the house. Oh, yeah. He probably picked you up and carried you around. Oh, really? Well, that's true. I mean, but people, if you say something like that, people say, oh, no. Oh, no. I know women that are just strong. You know exceptions. You know exceptions. Now, what this verse is a verse like that. There's a righteous man that perishes in his righteousness. There's a wicked man that prolongs his days in his wickedness. That's the exception. Generally speaking, you live longer if you live right. You live shorter if you live wrong. Those are exceptions to the rule. Does that make sense to y'all? You understand what I'm saying? Let's skip on down to 18. I'm skipping two verses, but I'm going to read you. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. What he's saying is, here's George Burns, who cussed God, played God in a movie, lived like the pure devil, and lived to be like 100, didn't he? 101 or whatever it was. There was some other old guy. George Bernard Shaw lived to be like 101. Wicked as they come. Wicked as the pure devil. But they're exceptions. They're exceptions. And you can't look at them exceptions and say, well, see there, they live for the devil all their life and they're happy and blessed. You can't point to one righteous man. Listen to me. You can't point to a good Christian guy that got cancer when he was 30 and say, see there, it don't do no good to live for God. You can't do that. I heard of a woman who had two boys in seminary, lived for God her whole life, raised her boys to become preachers. Raised them. And they went and graduated from seminary, and on the way home, got killed in a car wreck. Her whole life dream down the drain, just like that. You can't point there and say, see there, it don't do no good to serve God. That's an exception. As a general rule, you live a whole lot longer, a whole lot happier, and a whole lot better. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. And that's what Solomon's saying here. Anybody want to comment on that? Lord, I would hate to be an old wicked person. It'd be bad enough to be an old good person. You sure don't want to be no old wicked person. People like old Liz Taylor, and she's ashamed to even come out and show her face anymore. That's right. That's his mercy. Amen. All right, we'll take up there next time. Let's bow our heads for prayer.